It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
So you know going into next week, one of the stories that will eventually come out, Monday or Tuesday, is the Giants are going to make their decision at quarterback. Last week, or earlier this week technically, Brian Daboll for the very first time opened up to the possibility of a quarterback change going into the bye by saying everybody's going to be evaluated. He had never said that about Daniel Jones. It had always been Daniel's our guy. And I think both of us, you and I, Tiki, took those words as, oh, they're definitely making a quarterback change.
Right. I mean, why else not be non-committal?
Yeah.
Because for every single other week that someone asked the question about Daniel Jones, it was, Daniels gives us the best chance to win. It was a rote response. And so when you don't hear it, you have to expect that there's going to be some kind of change.
And that is certainly my expectation. Now, Diana Russini, who's a great reporter, she's worked for The Athletic. She used to work for ESPN, but a great football reporter. Made a lot of news last year with some breaking stories around the Jets, which pretty much all turned out to be true. Did a radio interview in the last couple of hours and was asked about the Giants quarterback situation and Daniel Jones. And said this.
So they've got this injury guarantee for next year, and they got to make a decision right now. Are we done with him and we want to save this money, or do we go to Drew Lock? And at this point, from what I've been hearing in the conversations I've had, Daniel Jones may be staying as the starting quarterback here for a few more weeks. I'm not sure if this is completely done. We're going to know more this weekend, though, when they come back from their bye and they meet with their quarterbacks.
So what happened with the reporting?
What do you, by the way, that's enough, and that's from the Dan Lebatard show. Hmm. What do you think of that?
That's interesting, because here's my take on this. If they are making a determination between Daniel Jones and Drew Lock, then Daniel Jones probably gives them the best chance to win. That's what this comes down to me. And Tommy DeVito, as much as we want to talk about it, is not in the conversation. And I think that's what's disappointing. If you're a Giant fan, to hear that they're trying to make a decision between Daniel Jones and Drew Lock.
Yeah, well, but here's the other thing. Earlier, like on Monday, after the emotions were still kind of fresh off of what happened in Germany,
yep,
you were even saying, I don't think Daniel Jones gives him the best chance to win anymore.
Right.
So do you think that that's the emotion of losing to Carolina? That's the emotion of how bad things were down the stretch. Do you think that when you go to the tape on Daniel, and then I assume they go to the tape on Drew Lock's past, or I don't know how they evaluate Drew Lock?
Yeah, it's a completely different offense. It's an unfair evaluation for Drew.
How do they evaluate Drew Lock?
See, that's the thing. I don't know how they would do that. They know what they have to an extent with Tommy DeVito because they saw him perform for this team in this offense, same offense, last year. No, it's a little bit different offense, but you know what I mean.
Right.
It's the same staff and everything. But with Drew, it's all kind of disparate moments in his career over the last 5 years and a couple of different stops. So you're not seeing who Drew Lock is as he's scout team, you know, practicing against the defense. It's not gonna tell you anything. I guess you could draw back. Well, no, you can't even do that. I was going to say draw back to training camp, but he missed a lot of it.
Right.
And so it's like, what could you possibly base it off of other than we don't want Daniel Jones, therefore we're going to go with Drew Lock? But if I think that's the case, you just stick with Daniel Jones.
Well, no, I think you just go to Tommy DeVito. That's what I would
do. But again, maybe it's omission on purpose by Diana, not talking about Tommy DeVito, but if she's being specific about the decision they're trying to make, that's why it would explain that Daniel Jones might stay as the starting quarterback.
If this turns out to be the case, all right, if they come out on Monday or Tuesday and announce that they are sticking with Daniel Jones at quarterback, Giant fans are going to be pissed. Mm. They're going to be.
Yeah.
They're going to be pissed because whether many think it's a big deal or not, that injury guarantee is still a thing. So why risk it? Even if it's a minimal risk, even if it's unlikely he's going to suffer some kind of serious injury that causes him to not pass his physical in March, it's still a thing. And I also think Giant fans are sick of watching him.
I think that, I mean, that's probably the bigger part of it is that they don't want to watch him anymore. And again, can he still win games? Sure, of course he can. But I think the fan is tired of it. And the fan wants to see what else is potentially out there. And if he keeps playing, you know, he's not playing horrible. That's the problem with this. It's not so obvious that he's bad that you would just say he's not worth it and sit him down. Because he's not playing horrible. He's just not playing winning football. And so that's what becomes frustrating for a fan, is that the product is not good for in these critical moments to help them win. And so you just do something else. Like, if you start screaming at the TV, just do something else. And doing something else, if it's between Daniel and Drew Locke, I think there's a good chance it's going to stay Daniel.
Yeah, this is a moment to me as a Giant fan, and I'm not a season ticket holder. I go to plenty of games, but obviously the season ticket holders would have more of a say in this, Tiki, where I look at this, and we just opened the whole show talking about the Saquon dilemma and the fans fighting with each other and everything these fans have gone through. This, I think, would be the moment off the bye week, knowing the way the season's gone. We all have two eyes. We see how the offense has gone. This would be the official moment to me under the Dable-Shane regime where you're asking a little too much from the fans to accept Daniel Jones starting this first home game back.
Yeah.
I think you're asking a lot for them to show up with any glimmer of positivity, to even show up, period. The Giant fan needs something new, even if new means it's not necessarily giving the coaches the best eyes to win. From a fan's point of view, Daniel Jones can't start another game for this team. He just can't, well, especially a home game.
Well, the challenge would be like still believing that Daniel Jones is going to win a game for you. And now if he goes out and does it, it's like, okay, whew, it's just a sigh of relief. What happens next week? Right? It doesn't become. It doesn't solve anything.
And if they don't, this is the other thing. Forget if they win, great. If they start Daniel Jones off the bye week versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
yep.
And it looks exactly like we looked all year long, where the team is struggling in the red zone. Maybe they draw, you know, they move the ball between the 20s. Bad turnover here. What does that then tell the fan base about a coaching staff that many are still defending?
Yeah.
That you had a whole bye week and still had an opportunity to make the change, and you allowed the same problems to occur when there was a clean out on the bye week here?
I'll tell you something else. I think there's two things you hit on one of it. Number one, the fans are going to be disgusted by this. They may not show up. They're going to boot Daniel Jones out of the building. He's going to take a beating.
Which
on
is unfortunate
Sunday.
For him.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But that's the reality. Here's the second thing I'm starting to think. You mentioned short week. After they play the Bucs coming out of the bye, they play a few days later on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboys. I doubt they'd make a quarterback change then. So it means if Daniel's starting week 12, he's starting Thanksgiving as well.
Let me give that theory then.
You want that?
Here's the theory. That was a national embarrassment to Brian Daboll that this team lost to the Carolina Panthers. A loss that, frankly, Dennis Allen didn't survive in New Orleans a week earlier.
Right.
Is it possible that Daboll, Shane, and everybody up in that Giant offices are discussing and know their next opportunity to make sure they are not embarrassed and the whole country's not laughing at them is by not losing to the Dallas Cowboys? And maybe that is where Daniel Jones giving them the best chance to win comes in, that they know the lock stinks or they don't trust the veto and they don't want to look like fools on Thanksgiving.
They look like more fools on Thanksgiving if Jones plays and plays ineffectively than if Tommy DeVito struggles.
I'm not disagreeing. Right. I'm just trying to get inside their head. Because that could be a death blow for them if they get run out of the building on Thanksgiving.
Think about the mental gymnastics that you're doing right now, Sean.
I hate that I'm doing them.
I know. But I think a lot of people are if you try to question, you know, people who you don't know's decision makings.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event.
BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And what they're deciding to do, it forces you to just jump around in your mind and come up with scenarios that probably aren't close to the truth, but... That's the life of a Giant fan right now. And it sucks. It really does, because you want to have optimism. You want to have belief, even in the face of a 2-8 start to the season. But it's hard when there's nothing that shows you that there's progress or positivity around the corner. I think that's the hard thing. So you end up doing what you're doing, Sean, like making stuff up just because it sounds good.
Well, because you got to sound like something's rational.
No, you're trying to figure out why. And I remember we talked about, and we've done it a lot lately, especially after the Carolina game, the status and the future of this head coach and this general manager. And I said to you, you know, I'm still kind of on that fence. I'm still there at bringing him back. But a lot can happen over the last 7 weeks. A lot of bad stuff that can happen that can change things. I'm going to warn everybody, and I think this is obvious, but I'll say it anyway. If they run it back with Daniel Jones for two more weeks, and God forbid he gets hurt, and this injury guarantee actually becomes a real thing, that is an example of something we didn't see coming being an egregious mistake that can cost you your job. To me, that would qualify. Yeah, now, there's a lot that can happen to get there, Ticket. I hope it doesn't, but I do think you're playing with fire, especially when you're dead and buried with where your record is, to run that risk with Daniel Jones.
Maybe, but I do think, you know, because we'll talk about an injury, but Daniel Jones could get a concussion and miss the rest of the season. Hope, not saying that's going to happen, knock on wood, but just say he did. He's still going to pass his physical. So
I agree. It's a catastrophic injury, but it still could happen.
So, but the likelihood of a catastrophic injury to a quarterback is so low in 2024 because of the protection.
Okay, does Dak Prescott pass a physical on March 1st?
I don't know. That injury is weird. Well, actually, Sean would know a little bit more about it because from what I heard, it's a hockey injury. Hockey players get this injury more than, you know, football players. So, I mean, maybe. But
that's my point. Like, as rare as it is, it could happen. I mean, if Daniel Jones tears his ACL again like he did last year, is he passing a physical on March 1st?
Oh, don't. Definitely not.
So I get it. You're right. The odds are stacked against him not suffering an injury like that that would cause him to miss. But why risk it? And if it happens, I'm telling you right now, that to me qualifies as the unforeseen debacle that could change the perception of a guy keeping their job.
Here's why you risk it. If Daniel Jones, which if he starts is a total joke, we all know that, and a disgrace. If Daniel Jones plays these games and he is bad, what is going to be the talking point? The quarterback sucks. And that's exactly what they want. They want everybody to blame
the quarterback. Are you still going with the whole tanking? They're blaming Daniel Jones for everything?
They are going to put this record at the feet of Daniel Jones. They are. Why else would you be going back
to him?
Well,
it is at the feet of Daniel Jones. I mean, it rightfully should be. No, he's been bad.
But we've seen enough of Daniel Jones. We get it, guys. We get it, Joe Shane. We get it, Brian Daboll. If you had a quarterback, you'd win games. You don't have to keep showing us it. Yeah, but we understand
just
it.
Just to counter your theory on this, Tommy, my belief is when you go to Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke, it's going to be bad, too, because I don't think either of them are any good. So... isn't that going to be the same thing? Like, oh, you changed the quarterback. You're going to blame that quarterback? So I don't think, like, the excuses really change because I don't think the quarterback play is going to get that much better no matter who's starting.
I've heard from a lot of Giant fans, including the one sitting, you know, 3 feet to my right, that Tommy DeVito cost us Jaden Daniels. I keep hearing we're going to win games with Tommy DeVito if he starts.
That's his opinion. I'm telling you my opinion. I think that, would you agree, Teague, if they go to DeVito and Lock, the results are going to be similar?
I don't know. Drew Lock, probably. Tommy DeVito, I saw it last year. He is not afraid to throw the ball down the field. He will take those shots when they're available to him. Now, do they turn into interceptions and turnovers and utter destruction? Possibly. But I do know that this offense was reshifted to do that, and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the point? Like, what was the point of remaking everything and drafting Malik Nabers and having more speed and versatility in your wide receiver room when you're not going to utilize it other than running hitches? Because that's the only thing that Daniel Jones is comfortable throwing.
Right.
So it just, like, I feel like this what they wanted to see and what they wanted to create in this offense just isn't happening. Because of everything we talk about with Daniel Jones, the processing, decision making, you know, he's just slow, but he has that hitch now. I think he's always had that hitch, but it feels more pronounced now. Getting the ball out and, you know, completions or incompletions. I think this offense needs somebody who will just execute it, or at least attempt to execute
it. Right. Well, we're all in agreement on that. I mean, the one thing we're universally agreeing on is that Daniel Jones should not play when they come out of the bye in a week and a half. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Let's go to Gary and Teaneck. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Man.
Sean, is Tyron Tracy a better running back than Saquon Barkley?
For his value, yes.
No. Not for his value.
Well, that absolutely plays into it.
Straight up, the answer is no.
Yeah, straight up, the answer is no. But who would I rather have on this team? Tyron Tracy.
Okay, that's a relatively reasonable statement. I can't argue that. Because what you said last night was a little different.
Yeah, it is different. And thank you, Gary, for bringing that up. The Giants found a better one. That's your wording of Tyron Tracy versus Saquon Barkley. You went on a Twitter rampage. And by the way, I want the audience to know, me and a lot of Tommy Lugauer, a lot of executive producers around WFAN, and I got to talk to you about this, Teague. I know you've had a very busy morning. We are workshopping a brand new segment here on Evan and Tiki, where Tiki Barber, Judge Tiki, judges Sean's ridiculous Twitter fights that he gets involved in at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because
nice.
He got involved in two of them last night. And I will definitely supply you and the audience a very quick synopsis. And you can tell us, nah, Sean's right. Good little fight at 1 a.m. Or Sean's lost his mind and he's a maniac.
I was asleep at 1 a.m.
Okay, 11 o'clock at night. But one of the things he was fighting about was about Barkley. And while doing that, he claimed on numerous occasions Tyron Tracy is better. So,
not yet.
He's not yet. Wonderful young player,
what?
But come on.
Can I apologize for something?
Go ahead.
I apologize that I assumed the Twitter audience was smarter than I'm giving them credit for.
Geez.
When I say somebody's better, I mean you have to allocate what the point is. The Giants are a better running team than they were a year ago because they invested in the O-line, let Saquon's money come off, and hit a home run here in the fifth round with Tyron Tracy, and they have not had a drop-off. In fact, their run game has improved as a result. If that means I have to take it literal that pound for pound, one is more of the MVP and the other's not, sure.
All I can tell you is last year the New York Giants ranked 16th in running the football. This year they're 17th. So I think it would more be that they're the same, not that they're better.
Do
they're
the
not
yardage
better.
At this point last year compared to last year. They're almost doubling their yardage.
So based on Sean's logic, Vermont is better than Italy because it's cheaper to go on vacation to Vermont than to Florida.
That's a great comparison.
So, right.
By the way,
if the pasta in Vermont starts melting in your mouth as well, then sure, it's better.
Hold on, just clarify. Because our last caller did it, and I think it was you do agree that Saquon Barkley is a better running back right now than Tyron Tracy?
Yes, but I'm not convinced that Saquon will ultimately have the better career.
Okay. Oh, look, he's a rookie. It wouldn't be fair to Tyron Tracy, just like it wouldn't have been fair to, you know, 15 years ago, well, more than that, 25 years ago on WFAN saying, well, Tiki Barber in his first year isn't going to be the greatest running back in Giant history. That's not fair to a young player.
Okay.
He's a rookie. Of course he can be great.
Are these statements true? In 2018, the Giants had the best rookie running back in the NFL.
Okay.
In 2024, what team has the best rookie running back in the NFL?
But what does that have to do with?
The point is the Giants are just damn fine and pretty damn good running the ball by getting rid of Saquon Barkley and getting Tyrone Tracy. And they're a better team with Tyrone Tracy than they were with Saquon Barkley.
What our last caller is saying is you made a claim in your arguments that Tyrone Tracy is better than Saquon Barkley.
Because I assumed,
you went too far.
I assumed everybody understood that that includes, obviously, the value that goes attached to it. That was my fault. I gave everybody the benefit of that for being smarter than they were, and I'm sorry for that.
This guy can't take a loss, Deke. It's unbelievable.
I'm hearing it.
Let's go to Frank in South Ozone Park. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing? So
good.
I just need to just give me the time because I'm going to blast Sean for a second, and I'm also going to slightly agree with him on another point.
Oh, that's good.
One of the other, Sean knows him. I'm going to go to the one I agree with him first, but please let me do the other one.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm going to agree with the fact that about Barkley. Sean knows I've been watching Giant games with some of the most negative Giant fans in the world for the last 25 years. But I agree, so he knows I'm a good Giant fan. I've persevered. So I'm going to agree with him that Barkley, when I was watching the game last night, I was more mad that the Eagles were winning, not that he was the one doing it for the Eagles. I swear to you, because I feel like we couldn't have paid him. So in my rationale, at our level where we are as a team, we can't make that investment in Barkley. The Eagles can because they're on the cusp. You can make that move. So you know what? I rationalize it in my mind that way. So I agree with Sean that, no, it doesn't make me more upset that he was doing it for the Eagles. Like, if Tiki Barber left the Giants and did it for the Eagles, yeah. Tiki Barber took us to a Super Bowl. The emotional tie is a different emotional tie.
I get
so
that.
That's right. My perspective on that.
Right. I get that.
So now, the other point that Sean needs to stop with.
Yeah, okay.
Last night, he picks a fight with Met fans, and I happen to be a Met fan.
Well, hold
on, picks
a fight with Met fans on Twitter. Time out. I'm going to let you go because this will be addressed. All right? I mentioned earlier.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Well, I'm going to explain it. Last night, on social media, Sean got into two massive fights with the world. One of which is what we've talked about a little bit. Saquon Barkley, the Eagles. He said a lot of irrational things.
Can you tell I was alone last night?
You were very alone. The other thing he fought about was New York Mets related. And so a little bit later on, in fact, I'll give you time if you want to address this, at 3:45, we will put this to Judge Tiki. Now, I've come up with a lot of names for this when Sean gets into Twitter fights, and then we judge if his fight was rational or he's an idiot. So I'll throw some names at you, Teague. Tell me if any of them jump out at you.
Go ahead.
Tweet Wars with Morash, Morash's Hot Takes, The Morash Debate Desk, Morash versus The Timeline, Hashtag Heated with Morash, The Morash Debate Club, Tweets in Tension with Morash, Morash's Twitter Throwdown, Ruffling Feathers with Morash, Morash's Digital Duel, Morash's Twitter Trenches. This one may be my favorite. 140 characters, one Morash. Morash versus the world, the Morash spin. I went to ChatGPT and said, can you name this potential new segment where we judge Sean's Twitter debates? So did any of them jump out of you, Teague?
Not really.
No.
I don't like artificial thoughts, artificial brain.
Okay.
Like chemistry. How about... X, because it is X.
It is X, you're right.
So,
and I don't think of it as X, but...
X misses the spot.
X misses the spot! It's not bad.
I'd have to miss the spot.
Well, the assumption is you have missed the spot. But we will address, because I know it did ruffle...
Question mark. X misses the spot. Question mark.
Yeah. Now I just can't help but think, in 1986, when my dad was slicing liverwurst, meeting my mother at a supermarket, is this what he had in mind?
Yes, it was completely.
His name?
Completely. We will address that coming up. What time did I say? 3:45? Is that a good time? 3:45? 3:45. That will be addressed. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Plus, we had a big announcement at this radio station last night. Dave Sims, the great Dave Sims, is officially replacing John Sterling. You will get to hear some of the brilliance that Dave Sims has put out on tape over the last 18 years in the great Pacific Northwest. Plus, we'll preview Jets-Colts. A lot to do on this busy Friday. Got a busy Friday here on WFN in New York City. We'll get to the latest on the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. We'll go deep on Jets Colts a little bit later on. Sean will help us play a game of Giants Tank Bingo. What you should be rooting for on your football Sunday with the Giants not playing. But yesterday evening, I was pleased to hear that our radio station made a wonderful choice. The great Dave Sims is now going to be the radio voice of the New York Yankees. Dave did the midday show with Eddie Coleman many years ago, I think in 1989. I think they had a good run, 89 to like the mid-90s. Dave did NFL play-by-play work for Westwood One, was on TV locally in New York. And then he got to live his dream by broadcasting baseball. And we're all happy for him because Dave's a good guy, and that should be known. We've all had interactions with Dave. He's awesome. I think you know Dave, too, Tiki. He's awesome.
Yep.
But besides being awesome as a human, which is great, I'm here to tell you he's ridiculously great as a broadcaster. Because as a baseball geek, I like to listen to everybody. And there are some broadcasters that drive me nuts. And then there are some broadcasters that are awesome. And before we play some of my favorite Dave Sims clips, just so you guys as Yankee fans and baseball fans can get a taste, because I don't know how much Mariner baseball you've heard. Have you heard a lot of Mariner baseball, Tiki?
I have not. I don't know if I've heard any Mariner baseball, to be honest with you.
See? It's new to you. I want to tell you something about Dave Sims, the broadcaster, that I've noticed that means a lot to me as a baseball fan. I like baseball broadcasters who care. Howie Rose cares. You can hear it in his voice when something happens great with the Mets. He gets emotional. Same when things happen that are bad. John Sterling and Susan are like that. It's part of why we've been gifted with such a great radio booth. They care. You can hear it in their voice. The disgust, the excitement, all of that. Dave Sims, for 18 years in Seattle, cared. And you're going to hear it in these clips. And mark my words, as a guy who's a New Yorker, who lives in New York during the winter, whose wife is from, I think, New Jersey. He told me this years ago. I forgot. I apologize. I know he's going to care on a level that's even greater than the care he had in Seattle. And trust me, his care in Seattle was off the charts. So I'd like to show you how much Dave Sims cared. I want to show you Dave Sims when the Mariners finally win a game after they've lost a million games in a row. So I want to take you back to when a walk-off home run was hit and the Mariners snapped an 8-game losing streak. You're going to hear a great call and you're going to hear care. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Sims.
High drive! Right field! Giddy up, baby! Giddy up! Go! Say goodbye to that 8-game losing streak!
I love that. Say goodbye! It's like immediate. But I'm going to one-up that.
Right.
Because
awesome homerism. I love it.
I love it, man. Ichiro Suzuki, the former great Mariner, had a game-winning hit. He, too, ended a losing streak. Take a listen to Dave Sims.
They're still trying to capitalize, trying to win this game. The pitch. Flip shot.
Thank goodness. That's care. Now, that's through the bad times. And unfortunately for Dave, it's not his fault. The Mariners had a lot of bad times. He had to sit through how many 90-loss seasons? How many times did the Mariners not make the playoffs? The answer is every year but one. It was bad. So when things were good, you can feel it in his voice. This is one of the most famous Dave Sims calls out in Seattle. It's when Nelson Cruz hit a game-tying home run and Dave Sims whipped out the boomstick.
Pitch.
The boomstick baby, 7-7 in the seventh.
Right, which better was the get out ball.
Get out of here!
Now, he's talking to the ball. That's awesome.
You're damn right. All right, so this one. This is a famous moment in Major League Baseball history. And when famous moments happen in baseball history, especially the teams that don't win a lot, you do feel good for the broadcaster, especially, again, someone who cares. You can hear it in his voice. He cared. He was living on every pitch. He wanted to watch this team succeed. So I can only imagine how he felt when King Felix Hernandez completed that perfect game 14 years ago.
2-2.
He got him! 34 years! 119 games! It finally happened! A perfect game by a Seattle Mariner! It was done by the...
by the king. And finally, the Mariners had such few great moments, but one moment they did have, and I'm glad that Dave was on the call for it, was when Cal Raleigh clinched the Mariners a playoff spot with a walk-off home run. Doesn't get much better than that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Sims calling the impossible. The Mariners making the playoffs.
What a lot of anxious folks out here at the ballpark. 3-2 to Cal. The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Cal Raleigh. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
I mean, I'm getting chills. I don't even care about the Mariners. Sean, are you not getting chills thinking about what this is going to be like with the Yanks?
It's great. And we didn't even get into it. He used to be great on Westwood One football coverage as well. He's got the pipes. He's got the feel for the moment. What I love about him, too, he's not going to try to be John Sterling. We're going to get authentically Dave Sims, and it's going to be classic. It's going to be great, and it's not going to feel like it's imitation of anything. I
love
there's
that. No way that he's his own guy.
Right?
I don't know if I've heard anybody get that excited about game moments like that. They usually call him so flat and then get excited afterwards. You know what I mean? Well, he's excited in the moment as if he's a fan. He's calling it like a fan would, but he's obviously calling it like a professional.
Yeah, I think when you're a broadcaster in baseball, you want someone who's rooting for your team. You want somebody who cares when they're calling a home run. And sometimes it's so easy because Howie Rose grew up as a Met fan. So, yeah, I mean, of course he cares.
Right.
John Sterling didn't grow up as a Yankee fan, I don't think. He certainly bounced around the league, did a lot of things. Dave Sims is a New York guy. And so he goes out to the Great Northwest because he wants to be a baseball broadcaster, and he got this great opportunity, and he did it, and he lived it. And it was probably the most impressive thing that he not only was a great broadcaster, but lived the Mariners, knew the guys, got into it. You talk about knowing people and how it's different. Like, you know Saquon Barkley. You're in a room with him. When you're a broadcaster, you're in the room with the manager basically every day. You're meeting the players every day. So that passion starts to become, yeah, I want these guys to win. And I thought what he did brilliantly over 18 years in Seattle, and I've thought this just listening as a baseball fan, is, oh my God, he's in every pitch. And so coming back to New York City for this team, for this franchise, I think it's going to be even better. So I think I'm very excited, certainly as a baseball fan, as someone that loves playing these calls with you after Yankee games and Met games. Like, oh, let's hear the Howie call. Let's hear the John call. I think we're going to have a fun time listening to Dave because he's a hell of a broadcaster. I hope that was a nice little preview for those that didn't get a chance to hear him in Seattle. And for those that were like, yeah, I'm excited because he's a good guy and I've heard of him. Now you're excited for that. And because he's really freaking good.
Yeah, congratulations to Dave. Again, I met him years ago, and I hardly even remember the interactions with him, but I always remember being impressed. And so his face is so memorable to me for some reason. I think maybe it's just his presence is very memorable to me. So if you did have any interaction with him, now that he's back, he's going to feel comfortable. You know, it's not like it's a stranger coming in. It's going to feel comfortable because that's just how his personality is.
Yeah, and going forward with Yankee baseball, this is Sim City.
Okay, well, there you go. Thank you very much. I'm sure Dave appreciates a nice little, what do you call yours? Your Morashian dad jokes?
Just dad jokes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome home, Dave. It's good to have him back because he is a FAN alum, and I can't wait for baseball season. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you're watching garbage football on a basketball team that's tanking on November whatever today's date is, 15th. You're like, I can't wait for baseball.
We haven't carved the turkey. I think we can wait a little bit.
I understand. Yeah,
you can chill out for a minute.
I'm gonna try. You know what? Nets beat the Knicks by 20 tonight. Trust me, I'll be chilling. I won't be thinking about baseball for a while.
No, you're going to keep thinking about baseball until Juan Soto signs somewhere else other than the Mets.
That is true. That's certainly on my mind as well. What, Sean? You keep pointing at me.
I wasn't pointing. I was just going to say, you know, the Nets beating the Knicks by 20. It's on the table the way the Knicks play defense. So we'll see.
Okay. Don't get cocky. I don't need a cocky Net fan.
I'm not cocky.
You know who's cocky? My son. Jet is here, and Jet revealed to me something that we need to fix. He revealed that he bet a friend at school that the Nets were going to beat the Knicks.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did he bet?
I can't tell you because it's just we got to work on that. Jet, never do that again.
Was it money?
Yes.
It wasn't a pack of Airheads, Steve.
Well, Dad does have a mill in the bank. So.
I do. Yeah. First of all, I don't. Neither does Jet.
Start him young.
I we're going to have a conversation tonight. Don't worry.
You proud of all that emotional hedging?
Was it more than like a Benjamin?
What's a Benjamin again?
100?
100. Yeah, that's what it was. Good job, Teague.
And I said, don't know how much money. You got $1 million in the bank.
His
piggy bank could have, like, lots of money.
He does not have $1 million in his bank, nor do I have $1 million in my bank. I can tell you that.
Did he bet him a George Washington?
No, he bet him a Benjamin, Deke. You got it right.
Oh, really?
And I said, you can't do that.
Oh, jeez.
I said, first of all, you shouldn't bet anyway. But if you're going to bet, we can't bet the Nets, who are getting 9.5 in the Garden tonight.
Well, and if you're going to bet a fellow 7-year-old, know that you're the underdog. If you lay in the 100, you better get the juice back.
No, I understand.
Right.
I think he got baited by an arrogant Knicks fan, which happens. I mean, that's the way they are. Even at 8 years old, they're very, very arrogant.
Hope he doesn't have to pay the VIG.
Let's go to Bob in North Babylon. How you doing today, Bob?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking a call. Tiki, I've been What's up? Giant fan since 1960. And that's a long time, and loyalty is a good thing.
Thank you.
And you are one of the top three running backs in 65 years.
Thank you.
And the other two guys with you, yes, the other two guys you mentioned always was Rodney Hampton, and I love Joe Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Those guys, the two guys that preceded me right before, they were great.
Yes.
Hamp was the man. He still is the man.
The one play that the Giants would run at that time, Tiki, was a straight dive play or tackle.
Right.
And they couldn't stop it, and John Madden used to go wild. But they're the only ones that do it. It was so quick. But anyway, I'd like to make my Daniel Jones point, if I could.
Go ahead.
Because he's a good guy and character, I put a lot of weight on character. I think the best thing for him after this season, I'd go down, I'd take a train ride down to Baltimore and ask Harbaugh if I can compete for a backup job. Because that would be a great organization with a great coach, and he'd fit in like a glove as a backup.
I think that's what he's probably staring at, would be my assumption, right, Tick?
Yeah.
That he's
yeah.
going to probably end up in a situation like that where I don't even think he competes for a backup job. I think he is the backup.
Yeah, he's one of those, because he's a veteran. No matter how much we want to think about the lack of success and injury history that he's had here, he's a veteran who's had success. And so and by the way, he's smart as hell. So there's a value that he's going to have. Now, will he get a chance to maybe compete in his first year and, you know, not with the Giants? Sure, certainly. But I think he could settle into an easy role as a backup anywhere and maybe even be a starter in different circumstances. But I think the Giant fan, as we've been talking about for the last, I don't know, month it feels like, is just they're ready for something else.
Yes.
And some of it's Daniel's fault, some of it's not. It's just been too long without an answer on who he is.
And I think enough time has gone by, like you talked about. We've been watching this for 6 years. Mike's calling from Westchester. How are you, Mike?
Hey, guys, what's up? Hey, Evan, put headphones on the kids when with the segment where you start doing your Sunday picks, okay? It's a little tough to tell a kid not to gamble
right.
when this portion of the show is sponsored by, you know what I mean?
You bring up a fair point. Gambling is a big part of everything in life, so I've got to teach my kids, kind of like alcohol, kind of like anything else, that, yeah, when you're older and you can make the smarter decisions, you should mm-hmm. do it. The one thing you shouldn't do is bet when you're underage, when you don't have the money. But you're right. We live in a society where I think you almost have to parent even more because there's so much around you, you know?
Yeah, it is, but listen, just real quick, I'd like to hear your comment on this. And I know in Giant history, this is going to be the worst contract ever. But after this $100-whatever million they've sunk into Daniel Jones in the last 2 years, is this going to – I think we got, about 5 wins. You're not going to see him again in a Giant uniform. Is this the worst contract in New York sports history? I'd like to hear your take on that.
All right, so one thing Tiki's always pointed out, and he's right, and we should address this off the top, is it's not – what it sounded like when it was first signed. Four years, 160, right? It's not that. But it is whatever guarantee. What will the contract be if they cut him at the end of the year, no injury guarantee? What will be the total that they gave Daniel Jones?
It's 80. So there's 80, and I forget the dead number, but the dead number doesn't matter because it's just the proration of the signing bonus.
Yeah, just what he ended up with is the way I would view it.
So it'll be, I have to look it up, but it's around 80-something million.
Okay. Here's why he may be.
But in total, his whole tenure here,
mm-hmm.
Well, he'll have made about $110 million.
See, the only thing I'm looking at is the contract, right?
Yes.
What did he do once he signed the contract, and how much did you give him in said contract? And our last caller's right, it's going to be up there, because right now he's 3-13 with 10 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, and he got $82 million.
Yes.
So you basically paid how much per win, how much per interception,
That's
how much per touchdown. So it will go down as one of the worst contracts in the history of New York sports. Now, it didn't screw the Giants for a decade, which in some of these other bad contracts, if we cross sports a little bit, you can say happened. But in the terms of production for what you paid and what you got out of him, yeah, it's going to be one of the worst ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, part of it was because he was injured, but he did take you to a playoff game. So, I mean, that year you can't take away from him. You
right.
know what I mean?
And there but it's not a part of the contract.
I agree. But there's some point. $108 million will be the total after this season that he'll have been paid.
Yeah. So that's in total for his entire tenure.
Entire tenure.
Okay.
2019 through 2024 season, he'll make $108 million.
Yeah, it's funny. I did a Rico Bronya on worst Met contracts, and it was tough because there were some guys that they re-signed, and it was, well, are we judging their entire tenure or just after you re-sign them? And if you're talking about the contract, it's after you re-sign them. And so after Jones got the extension, it's a disaster. 3-13. Now, I have to tell you something very funny. At least I find it very funny. So I mentioned that Sean Morash last night, are you alone at home or something like that?
Last night?
Yeah.
I had a very fun night. My wife was packing for Atlantic City. My kids went to sleep, and I went down to the basement with the dogs.
Okay. So he's downstairs in the basement with his dogs, Tiggy, and he decides to just go nuts on Twitter. And he had long-ass engagements about the Eagles and Saquon Barkley, and he called them lunkheads, and it got very, very ugly. And we've addressed some of these Saquon Barkley discussions. It got very ugly.
It was fun.
Okay. Fun. All right. But while arguing about Saquon, he got into another argument that I mentioned about 20 minutes ago when a caller tried to bring it up, and I said, just wait, I want to present it to Tiki, let Tiki decide if Sean was out of bounds. During a commercial break, Sean said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember inciting Met fans last night.
I still don't know.
You still don't know?
No.
You have no idea?
No, and I just went back on Twitter. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so I'm going to tell Tiki, please don't respond, Sean. This is for Tiki to find out.
Yeah, all right, let me hear. All right.
Last night, the New York Mets tweeted a congratulations to Francisco Lindor for being named to the All-MLB second team.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay.
I was actually kind of shocked by it, but whatever.
That he should have been All-MLB first team?
Yes.
Yeah,
Not that I know or give a crap what MLB first or second team is.
It's new.
But whatever.
It's new. Like, literally invented it 2 years ago. And by the way, decided to have an award show last night on MLB Network that competed with Thursday Night Football. So that's the background. So they tweet out, congrats to Francisco Lindor.
Okay.
Sean Morash decides to go on Twitter to retweet that and write, quote, nobody celebrates falling short quite like the New York Mets.
That is a troll.
That is a...
Well, I forgot it. That's funny.
And it didn't stop there. So naturally...
Why are you hating on Lindor, Sean?
I'm not. As a matter of fact, Tiki, I thought the same thing. First of all, I'll be honest with you. When I saw this tweet, I didn't even know there was first or second team.
But it is new, to be fair. It's okay. Like, I think this is only the second year they're doing it.
And I believe my initial response before I tweeted anything was, Lindor to get first team shortstop? Like, not, I didn't realize there was a difference. Like, it was combined. It's not AL and NL. That's
right,
I would have assumed.
Right.
So, yeah.
So who was first team then?
Bobby Witt.
Oh, Bobby Witt.
Which is deservedly so.
Right. Well, of course. He was in the MVP conversation for a long time.
But you're right, Sean. Like, since it's so new, I forget, too, that it's separated. Yeah. So I'm like, who the hell's ahead of him? Oh, it's combined Bobby Witt.
Right.
You're fine. Well, okay, but it doesn't stop there. Yeah. So naturally, Tiki, someone would pull up a Yankee tweet from 1 year ago in which the Yankees say, congratulations to Gerrit Cole on earning first All-MLB honors and to Aaron Judge on second team honors.
Yeah.
So that's thrown back at Sean saying, "Imagine this is a quote from Sick William. Imagine being so bad at your job, you need to resort to clickbait, LOL, and then included that image. To which Sean says, Aaron Judge didn't get a standalone tweet as second team.
Got him.
You're just proving my point.
Got him. Got him.
Now, Tiki, would you agree that this was an absolutely asinine?
How do you even think that make that your comeback? Well, the Yankees didn't standalone tweet him.
Now I want
standalone XM. He didn't standalone XM. So did Sean miss the spot?
Tiki, I'm going to take
X miss the spot?
Yeah, did X miss the spot? Did Sean miss the X?
Can I defend before you say whether I missed the X or not?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to put you.
Yourself,
I'm going to put you in a very dangerous place. My mind, right. Okay. When I see this Met tweet, it's like a poster baseball card of just Francisco Lindor celebrating. He's been named second team All MLB. When I get that thrown back in my face, Yeah, I'm seeing a first-team MLB guy with a second-team MLB guy. They didn't do a separate, here's Aaron Judge, second-team MLB. My point is the Mets really put it out there, and it's just kind of funny. Because,
but Sean,
and
you gotta remember, who else from the Mets was first or second-team?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Shocking.
So he's the only one.
Okay, but this is now, I want to also take inside my mind. I'm also coming off a point in time where I've argued with these deranged people. Maybe I am too, that they were better than the Yankees because they beat the Dodgers twice, even though they didn't make the World Series. Okay, so that is where that tweet is coming from.
Here's the problem. This is why you. What did I say?
You missed the spot or missed the edge.
You missed the spot.
Yeah.
Here's why you fail. Yeah. You're tweeting different people. It's not a collective. They're not all against you. And so if you take your ire out on someone who didn't agree with you, you know what I mean? You're being unfair to the second person.
Yeah, you're arguing with different people.
You're
right
lumping
now.
Them all together, and that's just not that's not fair.
And also,
now if it's one guy who's just like ragging you, then go ahead, go all in, man. Do whatever you got
to
say.
So logically, I would agree with you. However, I tend to find it's the same 23 Met fans constantly in my timeline.
Yeah, but the other thing
but
is,
but not specifically.
Well, I didn't want to single him. I didn't give him the pop.
But you're also picking the stupidest fight. Like, if the Yankees only had somebody, fucking all-team guy, they would have put out one image.
They had two guys.
They were lazy by saving one image put two guys out there.
Then I had somebody tweet at me. He's like, oh, you know, they celebrated Aaron Judge winning MVP. They didn't win the World Series. Yeah, it's first in MVP voting, not second in MVP voting.
Well, you're looking to fight
them. There's only one MVP.
Well, there's two technically in each league, but
you know what I mean. But
you're looking to fight everybody over the dumbest
there's
things.
Nine all in. Yes. What? 11? How many all? Because what do they do? They do starting pitcher.
Yeah, I think they do starter, reliever, DH position. So it's like 10. That's probably 12.
So it's like 10. It's like 12 people. It's a lot of people. MVP is one or two in the entire system.
You're thinking about this too logically, Tiki. And Evan just said the exact point. Evan just uttered these words. You're looking to fight people over the stupidest reasons. You have a world out there where everybody's fighting over politics and everything else. Yeah, I'm bringing a little levity to Twitter.
Oh, God, now you're bowing you're doing America a favor?
Let's fight about nonsense stuff. Let's have some fun here.
When Sean's teams stink, and make no mistake, they all suck, this is what he does.
Yeah,
he tries to bring his misery, and he's bored. He has ammo. He has no fuel.
Levity.
No, if the Giants were 8-2, he wouldn't be picking on the Met fan.
Well, You know what else the problem is? So, like, you guys thought, Tiki, I know you thought this, Tommy certainly did, that I was trolling yesterday with Carl Anthony Towns, right?
Yeah.
With the whole, he found the camera. I wasn't trolling. See,
the camera found him.
Right. We agree to disagree. I found something that isn't just trolling, but I know that some Knick fans would say he's probably right. In fact, I'll tell you a brief story. Earlier this morning, CP the Franchise invited me on his show because, of course, it's Knicks Nets. So, we got to do our thing. And I mentioned this theory I have about Cat, and CP, and you know how honest he is.
Mm-hmm.
He smiles at me and says, yeah, Cat knows how to find the camera. Yeah. He knows! Because what you need to do, Sean, is find the troll that even deep down, the Met fan, or in this case, the Knick fan, knows is true. Getting on the social media team because they put out a congratulations on all second. Come on, bro.
Come on, it was fun.
Find the right. And you didn't even remember it.
That's how nonsensical it was.
Very nonsensical. Very quick break. We'll come right back here on WFN in New York City. More of your calls at 888-808-1019.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.